This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this talk, Reggie addresses the conventional Buddhist notion of no soul. He says that from the perspective of Vajrayana Buddhism, the soul is the essential nature that transcends life and death. It is felt in the constantly unfolding sacredness and individuality of our unique personhood. This talk was given at the 2011 Advanced Meditating with the Body Retreat, held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
One of the things that we work on here is the human soul. And, you know, Buddhism has sort of reacted against the theistic traditions which say that there's a soul and there's a lot of teaching around it, and sometimes it becomes a reinforcement of the ego. So then Buddhism talks about there's no self, there's no soul, sometimes even translated that way. But the fact of the matter is, in the Vajrayana tradition, which is what, you know, that's what this all of this teaching comes out of, each one of us is a human soul, meaning that there's a fundamental part of us that transcends life and death, and that is in evolution, spiritual evolution. And the thing about this soul is that it is, it's our essential quality as a person, our essential inspiration, our creativity, our fundamental way of experiencing the world, and all of those things in us that really don't seem to be ego. You know, when we have a moment of truly selfless love for another, when we have an insight, even into our own neurosis, you know, there's a tremendous clarity to see where we're stuck. You know, we have many moments like that, and that's the soul expressing itself in our life. And we, you know, the body, I mean, you know, it sounds like Christian teaching, really, you know, almost when I say it this way, but the body is the place that how the soul can incarnate in human life and then can make its journey. And as it's said in all the great traditions, it's largely through the experiences that we have as an embodied being that we grow spiritually and that our soul is nourished. So, you know, when we talk about you, you know, part of the journey is sort of finding out who we are and discovering the essence of our person. And I prefer personhood rather than person because, you know, it's not solid. The soul is, it's almost like the soul is an experience of life that is constantly unfolding. And in a way, there's no center to it. There's no definitive, you know, thing you can say about it. But it's our experience. It's our human experience, which continues to unfold and deepen and open and go through so many different, you know, phases of human life and different experiences. That's, you know, that's our soul. So there's a lot of depth, you know, in the Vajrayana toward this very unique person that we are, and that's what we're working on, you know. And we're, when we do something like we did here, which was, you know, sort of share ourselves in a way where we're contributing to another kind of soul. There are a lot of there are a lot of different souls in life. One of them is our individual soul, And then a second one is that in any intimate relationship, that has its own soul. And the when you look at it from a Vajrayana standpoint, and you know what we heard, who are the two folks who are talking about their relationship? Yeah, you guys. And how it be all of a sudden, you know, you kind of wake up and realize that this relationship itself, it has a life to it that's independent of, not independent, but is different from the life of each one of us. The relationship is more than the sum of the two people. It's its own, it has its own soul. And when we live in a very deep and open way, we see that every relationship is that way, and we are called to nourish it and respect it and venerate it. In the same way, a community, you know, the community that we have here is a soul. It's a form of soul, and that, hence the big bird. That's why the bird, Tammy's bird dream was so beautiful, because that is how it is. And each one of us was some part of the bird, some aspect of the bird, and by being there and talking about it all together, we were, it was almost like a poem to the bird. That's what the bird is, it's us. So part of what we're doing here is working on our own individual, you know, the individuality of our own person, and, you know, this part of us, it really does transcend life and death. That is why we're here on this planet. And another part of it is that we are nourishing something much bigger that we're part of, and that's the teachings, it's the lineage, it's this group here, it's the larger, all the people who are doing this work. It's almost as if there's this soul, which is almost an entity on this planet now, of people who are doing the same work and called in the same way, and we may use different language, but the livingness of it is the same. And, you know, we meet people all the time. So we're working within a very vast community now. You know, the work that we're doing here and on ourselves, we're working with others who have this same depth of sense of the sacredness of life and the importance of, you know, each human person having their opportunity to realize what human life is in the fullest sense. And being called to the world, you know, that we're called to protect the world, we're called to help the world in whatever way we can, so that all the, not only the forms of human life, but all the forms of life and all the forms of being, including the mountains and the oceans, all are allowed to inhabit their place in the realm of being. So the very powerful thing about the Buddha's teaching on egolessness is, as Dan was saying, you know, not only do you not have to figure it out, you can't figure it out. It literally cannot be figured out, because it's everything. It's the organic unity of the entire realm of being and all the universes that ever have been or will be is working its life out. And, you know, the teaching on egolessness means you can let it go, and you don't have to take seriously the attempt to understand. In fact, understanding intellectually is one of the, in Buddhism, in Vajrayana Buddhism, is one of the highest forms of ignorance. When you think you have an intellectual understanding of anything, that's when you're in the most ignorant state, because at that point you've lost touch with the life of whatever it is you're looking at. The only way to honor the life of your own being or anything else is to realize that your thinking is getting in between you and the experience in front of you. It's getting between you and seeing and feeling and sensing the life. So when we're in this middle ground between we think we can figure it out and we're still trying and we're free, you know, there is this middle ground of we're sort of freaking out because we can't figure anything out, and yet we keep trying. But what we have to realize is that the trying part is we don't really have to take it seriously. We're going to do it, but it's not a big deal, and it's not going to happen. We're not going to figure it out. And then there become moments when you can live without really thinking about things. You don't have to think. This was one of the strange things about Trungpa Rinpoche, that he didn't seem to think about anything. He would just sit there, and he would encounter the life that came to him through the door. And most of the time he didn't know what it was going to be. And afterwards he wouldn't really think about it, because it would be something else. The man didn't think. I mean, how can you live without thinking? But he did it, and somehow, because of that, a huge amount happened. Interesting.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.